yes, the bucket list. It can be so much more than about traveling the world or climbing a high mountain. The list of things you hope to do before you die might contain childhood dreams, might contain things you want to learn, that degree you want to get. It's what you want to be remembered for. Shyla Mergain has a bucket list of her own. She's a psychologist with UW Health, and some of her clinical interventions include cognitive behavioral approaches to health and psychological issues, relaxation training, mindfulness, and cognitive therapy for reducing stress. Shyla, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on, Kate.
Well, when you Google bucket list, you get a whole slew of ways that you can approach how to craft this bucket list. Is there a formula here for a bucket list, or is it not so one size fits all?
It's really personalized. It's about what you want to create in your own life. And oftentimes we can be so caught up in expectations of others, of maybe trying to please our parents in childhood, to managing workplace stressors and getting caught up in kind of the to-do list, that we lose touch with our heart's desire. There was a palliative care nurse who worked with people at the end of their lives, and she found there was one thing that stood out for her, that the biggest regret people had was that they didn't have the courage to create the life that they were longing for, and instead they were just kind of doing things because of others' expectations. So I think a bucket list really helps us find our own North Star. And as you said, it can look different to, you know, every bucket list is going to look different.
Is it best to have a bucket list that is fully formed plan, like a mission, or is it more of a theoretical type of document?
I think it can be theoretical. It can be things that feel slightly out of reach, or maybe something that you're working towards for 20 years. Or I think sometimes when we're envious of others, that can be a signal that somebody has something that we're actually wanting, and that could be on the bucket list.
Does it matter if you're, what age you're at, 25, 85, at what age should someone be creating a bucket list or getting very serious about their bucket list?
I think at any age, you know, it's never too old to dream a new dream, and you can start even in childhood. And it probably will look different at different phases. Probably in your 80s, you might not want to climb that mountain, but in your 20s, it might be more of what college do I want to get into?
Speaking of mountains, you recently achieved that longtime goal to climb Mount Kilimanjaro, which was on your bucket list, and that really apparently helped propel you to get to the top, to make it. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. It was on my bucket list probably starting 20 years ago that I met a group of women in their early 40s who were training to climb Kilimanjaro, and what stood out for me is that they were so full of life, really preparing for it and regularly exercising, that I, in a sense, not only wanted to achieve that goal, but experience some of that joy of life and that energy and enthusiasm that they had. And I put it more firmly on my bucket list during a time of transition. And I think when people are going through a transition, maybe a loss of a job or a relationship change or moving, or they're empty nesters, going back to that bucket list, I think, can really recenter yourself on what's important. And it took 10 years to achieve it. You know, I bought hiking boots and started hiking smaller little hills each time, saying, oh, I'm training for Kilimanjaro. I had to save every penny. I had to get in shape. And for the last 6 months of training, I visualized every day seeing myself at the top. And when I was actually hiking, I almost didn't make it. And so I ended up that the day I was supposed to summit, I didn't make it. And we ended up having to camp at a 19,000 foot spot right before the top. And then the following morning, I achieved it. But what kept me going was saying, this is on my bucket list. I have to achieve it so I can give others hope that it's possible.
What was that like to achieve it, to be able to say, yeah, I did this?
I think a couple different things. One, you know, it's about checking it off your list, but it gives you strength and experience and perspective and something indescribable, I think, when you achieve that bucket list. No one can take that from you. That's something that you carry. And I think, too, it does give others hope that even if something feels slightly out of reach, it's amazing if you keep working towards it step by step, breaking it down into the small chunks, anticipating the obstacles because they're going to happen. happen, and getting help around you. You know, in a sense, you need people around you to be those cheerleaders. So we might not actually want to climb a mountain, but I think we all have summits that we want to achieve. And with that good support and those small steps, many things are possible.
Should you share your bucket list with other people? How close to your chest should you keep your bucket list?
I think sometimes you want to keep it a little close because not everyone's going to have your best interests at heart. But those people who do, who are those encouragers, who see what's possible, you might share it with them. I think we can't do it alone, and we go farther when we go together. But there are those people who are naysayers who will say, oh, you know, well, I don't know about that, or start to be those negative doubt people. Those probably aren't the people to share it with. I think about these bucket list dreams are sometimes like souffles. If you open it up too early and share it with people, it can collapse.
I like the food analogy. Shyla Mergain is with us. She's a psychologist with UW Health. We're talking about bucket lists and why they're important, what's on them, and how to go about constructing one. You can join the conversation about your bucket list if you wish to divulge, or if you have a question about how to form one. 800-642-1234. What have you crossed off your bucket list? Do you take your list seriously? Do you work toward these goals on the list one step at a time? Call in, tweet us at WPR Mornings. Shyla, so help us form this bucket list. If we really haven't set these goals down, and we're not talking about goals here, how do you go about getting acquainted to what should be on this list?
First, you could ask yourself, if I only had 1 year left to live, what would I have wanted to achieve, experience, do? Or on my 90th birthday, what do I want to celebrate having created in my life? And I think those kinds of questions really highlight what some of those deeper longings and dreams are. And then once again, it's really going to be personalized. For some people, it might be travel. For some people, it might be buying something. It might be a skill set or talent that you want to develop, or recreational activity, or maybe just a contribution in the community. Then I invite people to write it down. You know, you can kind of think about it in your head, but those thoughts can be fleeting. And if you write it down, and maybe even having visual reminders, I had a postcard of that mountain, Mount Kilimanjaro, on my refrigerator for 20 years in all my different homes. And I kept affirming, someday I'll get there. And it took 20 years. And then break down the bucket list into small tasks. One of the things I'm doing each month this year is to make 3 promises to myself of action steps I'm taking towards the next bucket list that I'm working towards. So you might think of three small action steps, sharing it with somebody. And don't be discouraged if there are obstacles or challenges. That's part of it. That's part of any hero or heroine story has that trials and tribulations that kind of make for that epic achievement when you finally do reach that goal.
When you had reached Kilimanjaro and you could cross it off your bucket list, did you give yourself permission to step back and breathe a little bit before you tackled the next bucket list item?
Absolutely. The first thing I said is, never again do I have to climb a mountain, because it was so hard, and from now on I can just do beach vacations and relax.
Nice.
And then, yeah, you want to savor it and relish it. The goal isn't to just keep achieving. Sometimes you just want to be. But I do think it's so much more enlivening to work in the direction of those things you're wanting to experience, versus so much time in our lives can be focused on complaining, avoiding, struggling with what's wrong, and that can feel kind of deadening.
Let's go to the phones now with Marcus joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Marcus.
Hi, how are you today?
Doing well. How's your bucket list doing is more important question here.
Well, my comment is actually less about what's actually on a person's bucket list, but more about accomplishing those goals and dreams on your bucket list. My grandfather passed away when I was 19, so he's been gone quite a while. But he gave me a really great piece of advice when I was younger. He said that you shouldn't try and look at the whole thing and try and tackle the whole dream or whatever it is all at once. He said, because a yard can be hard, but an inch is a cinch. So if you keep inching forward, you'll eventually get that yard.
Oh, I love that.
Sounds like your grandfather is a wise man. And Marcus, I think it also, your advice is perfect because we also can't achieve all our bucket list things at once. Maybe just pick one that you're working towards, or at most maybe three. But yeah, taking that inch is a cinch, as you said. Fantastic.
Thanks so much for that call. So should people stick to their bucket list, or do you encourage people to remove bucket list items that may no longer fit with their goals, or even if they haven't checked them off the list?
Absolutely. If there isn't that excitement and momentum, or even just a sense of challenge that feels enlivening, oftentimes those things really may be just pipe dreams or something that you thought you wanted, but in the end isn't really based in that deeper heart longing or intuition of what's right for you.
Tim on Facebook has a pretty concrete bucket list item. He posts Oklahoma versus Nebraska in Lincoln, hashtag GBR, Go Big Red. So maybe not necessarily an achievement, but an experience that he wants to have.
Absolutely. Some of those great sporting events, either you're watching it on TV with friends or you're going there live, those can be so memorable, just getting caught up in the excitement of rooting for your team and seeing them win. Definitely go Big Red.
So what should people consider before they add something to their bucket list?
I think it's about, a variety of things. One, what is something that I want to achieve this year? And what is something that's longer term? Because if you can pick some of the smaller things that you want to achieve, then I think that gives you some of that strength and confidence and momentum then to work towards those longer term goals that may be 20 years off, that you don't quite get that reinforcement right away or that sense of accomplishment.
So can I divulge that you had mentioned there's a puppy on your bucket list? Could you elaborate?
Absolutely. That's one of my 2018 bucket list items that I've been working towards for 10 years. And, I like to say when we're working towards these things, obstacles come up. I found a breeder. I found a puppy only to find out that it was too small. I wanted a certain size. There was a second batch, and unfortunately, those puppies didn't make it. And then I found a second breeder who had just had a litter, and it's the wrong color. So I have another breeder that I found that hopefully the puppy's born next month. It'll be my puppy. But once again, not to get discouraged, to just keep taking those action steps.
And it seems like a bucket list item can be anything. It can be anything from a sporting event to a puppy to a mountain.
Absolutely. A skill set you want to achieve. It could even be something you want to buy for your home, or an experience you want to create with your children, or something you want to share with a friend. It's all about kind of the memories and who you become in the process.
Well, Shyla, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much. It's been wonderful to be here.
Shyla Mergain is a psychologist with UW Health, and some of her clinical interventions include cognitive behavioral approaches to health and psychological issues, relaxation training and mindfulness, and cognitive therapy to reduce stress. You can join in with your bucket list items at 800-642-1234. What have you crossed off your bucket list? Do you take your list seriously? Do you work toward these goals on the list? Call in, tweet us at WPR Mornings. We'll get back to the conversation in just a moment here on the Ideas Network. Sometimes it's a health scare that triggers you to draw up your bucket list. Sometimes it's just this feeling inside, a philosophy to live life to its fullest. A new study in the Journal of Palliative Medicine finds that bucket lists are more common than we think. The researchers found that 91% of participants had a bucket list, that is, a list of things they want to do before they die. We're having a conversation about what's on your bucket list at 800-642-1234. Shyla Mergain is a psychologist with UW Health and stays with us. Some of her clinical interventions include cognitive behavioral approaches to health and psychological issues, relaxation training, mindfulness, and cognitive therapy. She also has a very strong bucket list. Let's go to Jim in Eau Claire. Jim, go ahead.
Good morning, and thank you for having me on.
You're welcome.
I have I've had a bucket list for about the last 15 years. I'm 76. And I got to thinking, wait a minute, I've completed four of these lists now. And I got to thinking that if I don't have a bucket list, what's left? I got to kick the bucket, and I don't want that. So I play piano, I'm not trained in piano, but I play publicly, and I have been able, with the help of friends, to perform in every state. That was one list. Every county in Wisconsin, that was another one. Every county surrounding Wisconsin, and all but two of the counties on a road trip that I take annually to the Scott Joplin Ragtime Festival in Sedalia, Missouri. Now I'm working on the Canadian provinces as well, and I just bought a ticket to Calgary. I'll be doing Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Manitoba. I've already got a couple of the others, Yukon and British Columbia. So I think it's important to have a bucket list. It just keeps me going. I'm a clinical social worker by profession, but retired from that. It keeps me interested, but it involves, you know, driving a car, knowing where you're going and what you're doing and so on and so forth. Well, so I just walk into maybe an assisted living and say, you got a piano? Yeah. You mind if I play it? Nobody's turned me down yet.
Well, Jim, thank you so much for your story. Shyla.
Jim, just hearing the enthusiasm in your voice as you were describing all the places you've played piano, I think really speak to really at the core why we have these bucket lists, that it allows you to share something with others. And, as I'm hearing you talking about walking into nursing homes and playing the piano, I can imagine not only you're fulfilling that dream of yours, but you're, sharing that gift with others. And I think it does give you that sense of purpose and meaning in life.
Well, thanks so much for that call. Stephen on Twitter says, my wife of 40 years passed away from ovarian cancer at the early age of 60. I've realized how fragile life can be, and I've updated my bucket list and will be traveling this summer to achieve some of those goals. What is your reaction to that?
That often we walk around not really realizing that at any moment, our life can end, and we miss so many moments. We take so much for granted. And from a mindfulness perspective, there's so much to savor in life that we get so busy, caught up in autopilot, that we don't stop to enjoy a sunrise or noticing the snow glistening in the sunlight today, or even just that connection with a friend. And I think when we work towards those bucket lists, we are really listening to our hearts, and we can discover amazing things that often it's not the achievement, but it's the journey that all those experiences and people we meet and challenges that we overcome that in the end make for really great stories and a life well lived.
Well, let's bring in Dr. Vijay Pariah Coyle right now. She's a geriatric and hospice physician. She directs Stanford University's Palliative Care Education and Training Program in the Stanford Hospice and Palliative Care Medicine Fellowship Program. She's an associate professor at Stanford's School of Medicine, and she's associate director of palliative care services at the VA Palo Alto Healthcare Center. Dr. Pariah Coyle, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. So you have done some research on bucket lists. What did you find with your patients?
In taking care of patients, especially those with serious illness, I find I'm sitting at the bedside of thousands of patients over the years in the last phase of life. I find that the predominant emotion that people have is regret that they didn't spend enough time with their family, regret that they did not learn to play the guitar that they always wanted to. Life was so busy, and they kept going from one thing to another and just did not find or make the time for these seemingly sort of less important things, but at the end they become incredibly important. And so that led me to start asking people, what's on your list? It's not even a bucket list of something that is finite and only for people with serious illness. To me, it's about planning your life with an eye on what it is that matters most to you. And so I ask anyone, it doesn't matter how healthy or how sick they are, I ask them, so what do you have planned for the next, you know, year or so? So it's more like bucket listing. Hmm. And I live my life that way as well. So that's how this journey got started for me.
How does that type of question lead you into a conversation that ties into their future healthcare?
Actually, that's a really good question. And when I first started out doing this, I would ask sort of nebulous things like, what do you have planned or what matters most to you? And felt that if I had a better sense of what typically goes on people's bucket list, then I would be able to ask very focused questions. A lot of times what happens is when you sign up for certain treatments, it's never a point in time, it's a treatment pathway, right? So, for example, if someone has a little shadow in their lung, which could be concern related to cancer, first you get an X-ray, then you have to do imaging, then you have to go see your oncologist, your lung specialist, your pulmonologist. Then we look at whether we can get some tissue from the shadow to see if it is, what kind of cancer it is. And then you have to get chemotherapy. That goes on for weeks to months. You have side effects. So it's not that, you can just go to the doctor for one afternoon and be done with it. You end up signing yourself up for months and sometimes even years of, treatments, which is exactly the way it should be because modern medicine is amazing. But then the question is, if you have a granddaughter that's getting married or a son graduating from high school, whatever it is, and you want to be there for those events, if you don't tell people like me, we'll schedule your surgery or your treatment without knowing anything about what's happening in your life, which will then cause you to miss important events and leave a lot of regret. So that's why I wanted to sort of systematically look at what goes on people's bucket list and then identify the themes that we identified so that for my individual patient, I can coach them and say, okay, here's what we need to do for your treatment. Do you have anything coming up in the next 6 months or so that we should know about so we can structure your treatment around your life and not get in the way of your life?
Well, I want to bring Shyla into the conversation here because it sounds like in the case of like cancer or a very serious illness, there can be a whole lot of steps and commotion, a lot of distractions perhaps that are very important distractions, but maybe getting in the way of those goals that yesterday were so incredibly important. What is your reaction to that?
Thank you, Dr. Vijay. I really appreciated your both clinical and research expertise and the insight you shed on the topic. And as I was listening to you, I was struck by a question that I often ask my patients who have chronic medical issues, whether it's cancer or heart disease or pain, and that is, what do you want your health for? What do you want your health for? And when they're thinking through that, one, they're focused not just on treatment of a chronic medical condition, but really shifts it into overall well-being and health. And out of that oftentimes comes that bucket list, whether it's just this bucket list for this time of treatment, like the round of chemotherapy, or this year as I'm doing a pain rehabilitation plan or a cardiac rehabilitation plan. But often what comes up is not only, the playing the guitar or traveling to Paris or baking cookies with my grandchild or woodworking, but it's, in addition, I think that the essence of it, whether it's I want to experience more joy or love or connection or a sense of awe or gratitude or pleasant events in my life. And so I think it can provide a roadmap of, in addition to managing the medical condition, I want to make time for those things that are most important. And those are the things, unfortunately, that go to the back burner. And it often doesn't have to take much time. It could be an hour a week, 10 minutes a day that we're doing something that then can lead us overall to checking those things off the bucket list.
Let's bring in Ellen now from Galesville. Ellen, hi.
Hi. Thanks for having this topic. I think it's really important, especially to people who have had a serious condition and would like to experience life to the fullest. I guess a little bit about me. I've always wanted to paddle the Mississippi River and since I was 16. And when I retired from teaching, I said to myself, what is it that I've always wanted to do and never done? Because I didn't want to have any regrets when I was older. And I discovered that there was nothing stopping me except for my own determination and some logistical things from actually doing that. So in 2014, my family dropped me off at the source of the river at Lake Itasca, Minnesota, and I paddled down down to the Gulf of Mexico. Mm. It took me 107 days. It was 2,350 miles in my 14.5-foot kayak. And after that, I started the Missouri River and about 100 miles up from the beginning of the Missouri River and got half of that done when I found a lump on my breast. And I had to come home and have surgery and chemotherapy. And I was pretty much out of commission for the next paddling season for distance paddling. But then the only thing that was on my mind was finishing the Missouri River. That was such a big goal for me. And I thought, oh, if I can do that, you know, I wanted it so much. And so the following year, last summer, I finished the Missouri River I started, you know, two summers from Twin Bridges, Montana, and paddled to St. Louis, Missouri. And that's about the same length as the Mississippi. But I guess the big thing is, you're never too young or too old to follow a dream. And, don't forget those dreams because that's what really makes living worthwhile.
Oh, Ellen, thank you so much for calling in with your story. And I want to get Dr. Vijay Puryakoil to respond.
Both Shaila and Ellen have raised such important points. And as we think about the bucket list, one question that my patients have often asked is, does it have to be really aspirational? I mean, paddling down a river can sometimes be pretty intimidating for someone who doesn't do that. And the question is, it's exactly what Ellen said, which is you have to follow your dream and look at what is most important to you. So something on a bucket list might be something as simple as, I want to go to church with my family every Sunday for the next 10 weeks. So it can be something that is very easy and accessible, but it is something that matters to you, or it can be something quite aspirational like paddling the Mississippi. So I just want to say that what's on your list is entirely dependent on what matters to you. It doesn't have to satisfy anyone's criteria of any magnitude. It can be something very simple, something easily accessible to you. The main point that I want to make is if you don't deliberately set out to do that, then you may find yourself at a point in your life where you're physically, emotionally not able to do it, and that will leave you with a lot of regret. And that's exactly what we want to avoid. You know, it's back to your point of promoting well-being and not just about illness.
Shaila, what was your reaction to Ellen?
just was so inspiring. And Ellen, just hearing you talk about it, it struck me how you kept affirming your commitment to making it happen, even after finding that lump, even going through chemotherapy. You kept planning for it, dreaming about it, figuring out how to get back on that river to finish not only the Mississippi, but the Missouri River. And I could see you writing about it or doing a talk about it, because I think your story is powerful and would influence people. But that continued commitment to it, and sometimes it's just affirming to yourself, yeah, I'm going to keep working on this, or next month I'm going to take the next step. And just to know, just because it's hard isn't bad, that the struggle of it, I think, often allows some of our kind of latent abilities to come online, those things that maybe in the background we've never had the chance to develop, that through the action steps and struggle then really allow us to develop strengths we might not have realized we even had.
I think we're also hearing through Ellen's story there that a bucket list item can grow into almost a lifestyle choice or a hobby that starts to become who you are as a person.
That you're known for. Yeah, that never was something. You know, maybe it's all of a sudden you have these athletic abilities but didn't play sports in high school, or now you're playing piano but were not musically inclined as a child.
Well, Ellen, thank you so much for sharing your story. We appreciate it. And you too can call in at 800-642-1234, share your bucket list item and how you are going to approach it. How do you approach your bucket list? And Charlotte, I want to thank you so much for joining us today and giving us a little bit more insight into your bucket list and helping us. And Shyla Mergain is a psychologist with UW Health. Thanks so much for being here.
Oh, it's wonderful. Thank you for having me.
And Vijay Periacoil is staying on with us. She's a geriatric and hospice physician who teaches at Stanford University School of Medicine. According to a study last year by AARP, nearly half of all people age 54 to 72 have a bucket list, and there's sentiment out there that it's never too early or too late to make one. You can join in with yours, 800-642-1234. How do you avoid regret as you age? When do you share your goals with other people, other family members, perhaps your physician? Is it uncomfortable or do they understand? Let's get back to the conversation here in just a moment on The Bucket List here on the Ideas Network. AARP's study on bucket lists found that more than three quarters of baby boomers with a bucket list want to travel. In a separate study out of Stanford University, among college-educated women, 84% had travel destinations in mind as part of their bucket list. That study's author, Dr. Vijay Periacoil, is with us. She directs the Stanford Palliative Care Education and Training Program in California. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you watched someone grow closer to death with disappointment that they didn't do more or say more or be more? How does that inform your perspective as you age? 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Let's go to Victoria now in Kenosha. Hi, Victoria.
Hello. Thanks for having me on the air.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
So before I knew what a bucket list was, when I was a young girl, I always wanted to be a teacher. And I'm 22 years old now, just to keep that in mind. And I had always gone through the school. I'm going to college right now, but my freshman year of college, I got pregnant. And I gave birth to a little boy. And I was a sophomore. And I was really worried that I wouldn't ever be able to complete this goal of being a teacher. But I don't know what drew me on, but this semester I'm graduating, and it's one of the best feelings in the world.
Oh, Victoria, that is fabulous. Dr. Pericoyle, you must really be excited to share in some of these bucket list accomplishments with your patients.
Yeah, that is just amazing, Victoria. Congratulations. And oh, what a great story. A lot of times people have life accomplishments that are often related to being with their family, specific goals for themselves. And so we found that the desire to accomplish a personal goal, 8 out of 10 people have that. So yours is just exactly in that space. And I also really like the fact that you said that you started out pretty early. You had a dream even when you were in your teens, and now you've stuck with it and you have accomplished it. How does it feel, you know, when you were thinking about it and when you could not do it? I think that's where people get a little stressed or worried. Was that your experience too, when you felt that life intervened and you had other things and couldn't quite get to where you wanted to?
Yeah, Victoria, how did that feel when you had to reroute your bucket list item?
It was hard. It was hard to make plans. It was hard to try and work things around, but it's amazing to have people that support you, that are around you, and wonderful university staff that helps you with your decisions. And I think maybe when you have a bucket list, it's great to have people around you that support you in your decisions.
Victoria, thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Diana now in Madison. Hi, Diana.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I've been diagnosed with some chronic pain for the last 3 years, and I'm a retired special ed teacher, and I have gone to a lot of classes through UW and support groups and had wonderful doctors. And one thing that I have found, I've done a lot in my life, and certainly I'm not, you know, trying to say I'm completely fulfilled, but that I, at this point in my life, really have a very small bucket list dealing with my pain, which is that, you know, I can just get up in the morning, go to the garden, and do what I want to do throughout the day with less pain. And so, you know, just being in my garden and being able to learn some new skills that are, you know, little skills. But the thing that I wanted to comment on is that, and this is no taking away from, you know, anything that anybody has accomplished, but when I'm sitting in some of the groups, unintentionally, I imagine that, you know, individuals who've done these great things, it's really difficult not to ooh and ah and give lots of credit. And unintentionally, that makes me feel sort of like, I'm not doing very much. I really got to do more. And right now I can't. And personally, right now I don't want to. And so I think my point is that that people who lead these groups, and it's a difficult thing because obviously paddling the Mississippi is huge, but that there's some way to make people like me who are really trying to just feel a place in my own life, in my own soul, in my own spirit, that I can feel okay. And it's not a big, huge deal. I don't want a big, huge deal. I'm done with that for a while. And so, and again, I have to stress, this is never an intentional thing, but if there's some way to possibly find a way to make my little bucket list feel as important as with some of the other individuals who've done really great, wonderful, but bigger things.
Oh,
and
Diana.
I'll hang up.
Yeah, so eloquent. Diana, let's get Dr. Pericoyle to respond.
I completely agree with what Diana expressed, and this is what I was trying to describe earlier, which is you own your bucket list, and it is about what matters to you. There is no bucket list competition where you have to have the most aspirational goals. If you are a person and if life circumstances allow you to have aspirational goals that are amazing and allow you to strive towards them, that is wonderful. But it is also equally important to acknowledge, that is why I gave the example earlier of going to church with your family every Sunday. That's easily accessible, but incredibly important. And you may not be able to fulfill that if you don't deliberately plan for that. So I completely agree with Diana that we should have space in our discussions that accommodates for everyone, because everyone matters, right? And their bucket list is what they determine it to be. For example, I have a patient right now who I think was featured in the article, so I can't speak about her. So she is someone who has actually got colon cancer right now and is in the last phase of life. And she did a lot of traveling and other things while she was younger. Right now, what's on her bucket list is to actually just do her art. So she does simple projects with art, and that's all she wants to do. And so she's perfectly content. So it ultimately comes down to, what is it that matters to you? How can you take steps towards accomplishing it? You do not have to accomplish the entire thing. If you're being mindful and taking a couple of steps towards doing what it is that is important to you, that's good enough for me.
Let's bring in Mary now in Butternut with her bucket item. Mary, go ahead.
When I was a child, my mother had taken us to her cousin's farm in Hales Corners, and I fell in love with her farm. And when I was a teenager, some friends had grandparents out in the country off of 70 out of Fifield, and I got to go with them on weekends. And I loved walking barefoot through the cow pies and playing in the haymow and stuff. And finally, as an adult, I was able to realize my dream of being on a farm. I was able to rent one, and I had everything you could think of. I had cattle, I had sheep, I had a small herd of goats, I had pigs, chickens, guineas, ducks, geese, turkeys, I had rabbits, dogs, cats, you name it, I had everything, and I was so happy. And I'm working my way to getting back like that again. I mean, that's when I was my happiest, was being on my version of a farm.
So place is very important to Mary, Dr. Peria Coyle.
I just love that story, and it makes me think that a bucket list item is something that allows you to be all you can be and be your most expansive self and feel that sense of joy. And if that comes out from being in your garden, being with animals, being with your family, doing, you know, the most simple things, or doing the most complex, exquisitely, you know, determined things, that's okay. It's like you don't need anyone else to sign off on your bucket list. It's what gives you joy and what matters to you. That's what is so elegant and beautiful about this concept of bucket list. It's all about you and what you want to do with your life.
When you ask your patients, so what's, you know, what are you doing? What's your, whether you say the word bucket list or not, do you find your patients perhaps are a little bit skeptical of you because they're there being treated for their health care? They're not there to explore what their dreams are.
That's actually a really important point. And so then it brings to question or calls to question, what is the role of the doctor? Is our role just to provide healthcare-related treatment, or is there a broader context in terms of the healer or someone who promotes well-being? And I would say that giving your patients the best possible treatment is sort of the floor of what you need to do, and then treating your patients as a person, providing person-centered care, and promoting their well-being and through that their healing is sort of the feeling of what you can do. So to answer your question, I usually ask patients, my script will be something like this, and I just had a patient 2-3 days ago who had an amazing couple. She has breast cancer, and they have a home in Ohio. They just came back from travel, and she is in for her chemotherapy treatments that are going to happen for her in the next few months. And so the question to her was not about her bucket list as much as asking, okay, we've got a series of treatments planned for you that's going to take some coordination. It would be very helpful if you tell us if you have anything planned by the way of travel or by the way of accomplishing some goals, or like we have the 6 categories, right? Do you have things that you want to do with your family? And she said, well, we have a home in Ohio. I want to go and spend a month there with my grandchild. And that, so then the next question was, so when would you like that to happen? And so she said, May. She and her husband want to go to Ohio in May. And so we said, okay, we'll talk with oncology. We'll make sure that you get all the treatments scheduled so that in May you can go over there. And if you need treatments while you're in Ohio, we'll coordinate to make sure that we can get that done while you're there. So that's what I'm talking about. It's not some discussion that is very dream-oriented where we are asking, you know, what's on your bucket list and make a list. And it's more about very practical. What can we do in the next few months to make sure that you get the best out of your treatment and that you get the best out of your life? And one shouldn't get in the way of the other.
So you take care of patients at the very end of life. What emotions do your patients express as they reflect on their lives in these last moments?
I take care of people who are older adults. I have people who stay with me for years and years, and then I also take care of people as they transition through to the end of life. A lot of times when patients have had time to reflect on what matters to them, when they get to the last point in life, many will express a sense of regret. People will often have profound gratitude for their family, provided they have, loving families. Because I also want to be sensitive to the fact that some people may have, be alone. They may not have a lot of loved ones in their life, or they may feel sort of disenfranchised from their family. And for them, I think we have to be sensitive to caring for all patients, right? And so regret is definitely an emotion that I see all the time. But then once people sort of reconcile to the fact that they are at a phase in their life that they can't perhaps do much more of what it is that they want to do, then people sort of reflect back, sort of take stock of their life. And at some point, many patients will get to where they feel at peace, that's a very strong word, but I would say that they are okay with what's happening to them.
Mm-hmm.
And as people transition through the last phase of life, there comes a point in everyone's illness trajectory. I've seen this especially with people with chronic illness, where they feel that it's okay, I've done with my life, and I'm okay to move on. At that point, family obviously still may not be willing to let them go. Doctors like me who are connected to our patients, we have a hard time letting go. But patients can get to a point, the tipping point, what I call the tipping point, where they are fine with where they are. And they are, one of my patients said, I'm ready to move on to the next living stage, which I thought was really beautifully said.
Well, Dr. Perry Coyle, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be here.
Dr. Vijay Periyakoil is a geriatric and hospice physician. She's director of Stanford's Palliative Care Education and Training Program and the Stanford Hospice and Palliative Medicine Fellowship Program. She's an associate professor at Stanford University School of Medicine and associate director of palliative care services at the VA Palo Alto Healthcare Center. Earlier this hour on Bucket List, we talked with Shyla Mergain, a psychologist with UW Health. Some of her clinical interventions include cognitive behavioral approaches to health and psychological issues, relaxation training, mindfulness, and cognitive therapy to reduce stress. This hour on Bucket Lists on The Morning Show was produced by Keely Baltina. We had technical direction from Michael Deringer. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.